Very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Ayin Tes, Shabbos 79A, pagination 157, but we're going to start from the facing page. So we're on page 156 at the bottom, which is Ayin Ches Amud Beis 78B, about 9-10 lines from the bottom. In the beginning of the line, you'll see Tafresh Tanu Rabbanon. We discussed yesterday a person walking around with a receipt from the tax collector, and if he walks out on Shabbos, if that's considered transfer or not. We need an explanation as to why this piece of paper has value. And then we would be able to rule, if it has value, then it's considered transfer on Shabbos and you can't carry it. Otherwise, it would not be the classic violation of transfer hotza'ah on Shabbos. The Gemara today discusses a shtar chov, a IOU note, indicating that the borrower owes the lender a certain amount of money. That document, that IOU, if a person were to carry it out on Shabbos, would they be in violation? Obviously, the first reaction is, well, it depends if it's paid up or not paid up. Does it have value? You could still claim the money, right? That's the initial reaction. We actually have four different approaches over here as to how to assess the case, what the Bryce is referring to. And keep in mind, in the back of your mind, that one of the considerations is, even if it is paid up, but a person can still use it, in their words, to cover a jar, so that, I guess, bugs don't get in. In our time, we would refer to it as a place mark. It could be used for a useless type use, something that it doesn't even matter what type of paper you use. So that it boils down to the essential, even though I can't use it as paper, will it still have use as a jar cover? So the Gemara says as follows. Tanu Rabbanon, we learned. Hamotzi shtar chov, if a person takes out an IOU, a document of a loan, ad shelo paro chayiv, if it was not yet paid up, if he did not yet collect on it, so then you're chayiv for carrying it out because it has a distinct use to collect the loan. Misha paro potter. But once you collect it already, then potter for transferring this item because this document has no use. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, af misha paro chayiv, even once it's paid up, you're still in violation of transfer because it does have value. Mepnei shetzorich lo, because it has a use. What kind of use does it have? So Rashi tells us it has a use that you could cover a jar with this document. And therefore, it has a default use even once it's been paid up. The problem here is, my beinayu, what's the difference between the first opinion and the second opinion? Rabbi Yehuda is saying you could cover a jar with it. So doesn't the Tanakhama also hold that you could cover a jar with it? I mean, what's there to argue about? It's a piece of paper. Amar Rav Yosef explained, also lishos shtar parua ike beinayu, the prohibition to hold on to a document that was paid up. That's what they're discussing. Rabbanan Savri also lahasho shtar parua. The Rabbanan hold, you're not allowed to hold onto a document that's been paid up based on a pasuk in Iyov, al tashkin be'ohalecha avlo, don't leave a potential pitfall in your home. You leave the document that's already paid up in your files. You might at some point pull it out, or your children will pull it out. Someone's going to pull it out and try to collect the second time. You're not allowed to hold on to something that could cause a pitfall. We have this in so many areas. You're not allowed to hold on to imagine a 1 pound weight when they used to do scales. Put something on one side, weigh the product on the other. You can't hold on to a 1 pound weight that's off, lest someone put it on the scale and use it, then weigh 1 pound, which is really less than 1 pound. If it's got some of its metal, let's say, shaved off, so it's not quite 1 pound anymore. This is classic geneva, classic stealing, where a storekeeper would purposely do that. Even if you're not purposely doing it, you just figure, I won't use it in my store anymore, but let the kids play with it. It's good to play house with, good to play storekeeper with. You're not allowed to keep it in your house if it doesn't have some very clear mark that it's no longer usable as a kosher weight. Similarly, if a person has tefillin that aren't checked, he's got to leave a marking there somehow, a Sefer Torah that's not good. You can't just put it back in the Aron and say, well, I'll remember that in Parshas Vayigash, just after Shlishi, there's a left letter that has to be fixed. Because the next guy doesn't remember what you remember, and therefore we have certain symbols, if a Sefer Torah is in there, but it needs to be fixed, how to mark it so that the next person doesn't take it out. One of the methods is you put the gartel, which is on the inside, you put it on the outside the mantle, outside the cover, whatever it is. But this is a principle. And as a result, the Tanakhama said, you're going to cover your jar with it. You're not allowed to keep it in your house, because we're worried you're going to collect with it a second time.
For Rabbi Yehuda, does that make it muksa?
1 second. I can't deal with muksa right now.
Okay.
Whether you're allowed to keep it in your house or not, and therefore if it has value, and therefore an issue of transfer. Rabbi Yehuda Sava and Rabbi Yehuda holds, muta lisha shtar porua, you're allowed to hold on to a document that's been paid up, because you issue him a receipt, a shover, and therefore he held that that's not a problem. That's one approach. Why are you finding value in this item? I could cover a jar with it. Why am I not finding value in it? You're not allowed to do that. You got to get rid of it. This is headed for the shredder. Carrying out is meaningless activity because it's headed for the shredder. Abaya Omar, Abaya says, let's try a different approach here. Dekulei Alma Oser Lisha Shtar Perua. Everybody agrees you're not allowed to hold on to a document that's been paid up. And we said the reason is we're worried you're going to collect a second time. V'hacha, but over here there's a different angle as to why the lender would be carrying this document, totally different angle, and we'll see whether it has value or doesn't have value in this document. What's the case? B'mode b'shtar shekosvo shetzorech l'kaimo kamiflegi. Any document that's brought into Beis Din has signatures on it. That's what makes it a valid document. Otherwise, any scribe could have written it up. The point is, it has signatures on the bottom. Do we require those signatures to be validated? The answer is normally yes. Someone has to come in and say, that is the signature of Yosef ben Avraham. I recognize that signature. That's his signature. And then we would know that signature is good. What happens if the borrower admits that this document is valid? Do you still have to go ahead and validate the witnesses as you normally would have to do by any other document? And here's the catch. This is what causes the difference in our Gemara. What the lover, what the borrower is saying is, we did write this document, it's true, but I paid up already. And my recourse that you shouldn't collect from me is, I tell you, listen, every document has to be validated. Go validate the document. If you can't validate the document, then my claim is, you wrote it, it's true, I borrowed, but I paid up. It's called a migu. It's since I could have said a denial on the claim, and you would have had to validate the witnesses before you could claim the money, because a document without validated witnesses is nothing. So now, even though I admit that I borrowed, and I admit that it was written, and essentially I'm admitting that the signature, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to have my migu. My migu is, the witnesses aren't good. Go prove the witnesses. So instead I'm saying, I borrowed. Witnesses are good. But I paid up. Do you have to validate witnesses on a loan that the guy admits he borrowed? Because you think about it, it's like very funny logic. I'm trying to validate the witnesses on something that doesn't have to be validated. He agrees he borrowed. The question is if he paid up. But he has a migu. In the process of law, we have not really cornered him to get him to pay. And therefore he says, I borrowed, but I paid up. Until you validate the witnesses, you really don't have a claim on him. Once you validate the witnesses, and I'm holding the IOU, you have to pay up. You can't claim, I paid up. So let's translate literally. A person admits that the document was written. Do you have to validate the witnesses? Tanakama says, yes, you have to validate the witnesses. Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Moda B'Shtar Shekosva, Ein Tzorech L'Kaimo, you don't have to validate the witnesses. Umayat Shaloporo Umishaporo, what does it mean once he paid up or didn't pay up? At Sheyoma Lover Parati, onto today's daf, until the borrower says, I paid up or did not pay up. It's not really whether it was paid up. We don't know in Bezdin whether it was paid up or not paid up. This is all worded based on the claim of the borrower. Okay. Rava Omar, a new approach to this document in question regarding value, regarding transfer. No, you still have to validate the document even though he agrees that he borrowed. The argument is whether you write a receipt. Or you just have to relinquish the document. The Tanakama says we write a receipt. And therefore, this IOU document has no value anymore. I'm supposed to turn it over to the borrower, because ideally he would like to see it and he would like to shred it. But if I tell him I lost it, it's not the end of the world, because he has a receipt that he paid. So therefore, it doesn't have enough value. It's true, I'm supposed to hand it over to the borrower, but it doesn't have enough value to be considered transfer on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Sover Inkos from Shova. Rabbi Yehuda holds you don't write a receipt. And boy, oh boy, does this document have value. Because the guy's going to have major complaints on me. I paid up, and you never turned over the IOU to me. I don't know, maybe you should give me a refund on my money that I paid up, because you could easily claim in 5 years the money again. And you claim, I lost the document. A likely story. Now, if you give me a receipt, so at least I have a backup, and I'll accept your claim that you lost the document. You promised me it's lost. Okay. But if you didn't issue me a receipt, I need that IOU. Okay. So that's Rava's approach. Final approach. Rav Ashi Omar, we're not talking about the Malva, the lender, carrying this item out, and whether he needs it for something, even if it's to turn it over to the borrower, but he needs it for something. We're talking about the borrower. Because he wants that IOU to show it to the next person he wants to borrow from. Classic credit rating issue. Right? They all say that when you want to create a credit rating before you buy a house, borrow $100 and pay it up on time. What's he talking about? You're creating a credit rating. This guy also, he's going to walk in to the next potential lender, and he's going to show, listen, 5 years ago I borrowed money, I paid up, you could check me. Go look, I'm a guy who pays up my loans. And therefore this document, paid up as it may be, has value. To who, according to Rav Ashi? To the borrower. Because he wants to be able to show it later. And this, by the way, is similar to what we saw yesterday by the tax collector. I could show you all my receipts from previously paid things so that you should have a different impression of me. I'm a guy who pays up. Yeshua, have a great day. Wonderful Shabbos.